Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Social Month. I'm loving Social Month, and we have my father, creator of Lifebook, John Butcher, on the line. How you doing, man?
Good, Jordan. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Really, really powerful Social Month this year. I'm really excited to dive into the questions, but before we begin, you wanted to cover some of your top social strategies. Why don't we go over those?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I shared most of these in the Lifebook program. I think I actually may have shared all of them, but just want to hit this list really quick, because once you understand the immense power of this category, which, by the way, took me and Missy quite a few years to understand, you know, you'll be motivated to take it to the next level. And These are the five best strategies we've ever encountered for doing that. So you ready?
Hit me.
All right. First one is called the doorman principle. And this was given to me by my accountability partner of many years, Rick Sapio. And basically, Rick visualized a doorman standing at the front door of his life. And you don't get into his life unless you are on the guest list, right? Just like a doorman in front of a club. Mm-hmm. And this doorman has a list of criteria for what you need in all of your social relationships and what you are unwilling to live with, what the deal breakers are. So one of the things that you may absolutely need in every social relationship that you have is honesty. And this is one for me, Jordan. You lie to me once, that's the only data point I need. I don't need to be spending a whole lot of time with you if you tell lies. Responsiveness was one of the values that Rick really needed in his relationships, especially business relationships. You can't return an email, a call, or a text, you know, in a timely, respectful manner. Then that was a deal breaker for Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Self-reliance. We don't want a bunch of friends who are clingy and needy and who drag us down. So it's basically making a list of the things that you need in your relationships and the things that you are unwilling to tolerate, and pretending like you have a doorman at the front door of your life. No one's getting in unless they fit the criteria. That's just a killer strategy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The second one is the one that I shared in Lifebook for sure. It's basically to take a look at your address book or your contact list and go through it and do a nice little purge. Miss and I have done this 4 or 5 times. That doesn't mean you have to make people wrong or you have to read the Riot Act. It just means that you're getting conscious of the relationships that you don't necessarily need to water in your life. You've got limited time and energy, and you want to make sure you're using those resources wisely.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a nice one to do. Take a look at your existing address book and make a few cuts every now and then. The third one is to either join or start a mastermind. And this is this has probably been the biggest social strategy that Missy and I have used to blow up our social life in the last 10 or 15 years. But you can join one in your area of interest. Could be health and fitness, could be an intellectual, like for instance, a book club, you know, a little book club mastermind. That would be sort of an intellectual area of interest. You can do business, making money. You can do a hobby. Go out there and find a mastermind that specifically speaks to your area of fascination or interest, or start one. You know, get online, get a group of people together that all are really interested in the same thing, and meet once a week.
Totally.
Same thing with an accountability group. It's a very related strategy. It kind of behaves the same way, but the difference between a mastermind and an accountability group is, you know, an accountability group ideally meets once a week. 3 or 4 gals or guys that are building their life vision together or building a business together or whatever the focus is. But an accountability group is specifically meant where you can meet regularly and review your goals. You make commitments on what you're going to accomplish on this call. And then on the next call, you report back on how you did and you make new commitments. Mm-hmm. And doing that in front of a group, Jordan, absolutely will take your productivity and your results to the next level. There's no question about that. It's like one of the biggest drivers of the difference between getting things done and procrastinating. You don't want to be the one to show up on that call and say, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't do what I told you guys that I was going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think that that's something that you just mentioned, especially about the mastermind specifically. you were really your own driver for a really long time. You were a successful entrepreneur when you were relatively young, and you didn't get into masterminds until relatively recently. Can you talk about what kind of sparked that and kind of what the realization was of the power behind doing things like that?
Yeah, we just had a jacked up social life. And I'll go a little bit more into that on this call, but this was by far our weakest category. We just didn't value it. And the reason is because we had crappy friends who drained us. And I mean, if you pick up the check 100 times in a row, that's a clue. You know, if you're the one that's always bringing, excuse me, the emotional support, the advice, that's a clue. Mm-hmm. If you're the one that's carrying the relationship, and that's what our relationships were like. So of course we didn't necessarily relish this category. But when we figured out the immense power of getting this category right, we flipped the switch, man, and masterminds, accountability group, all these strategies I'm sharing with you now is how we did it. And nothing, Jordan, has taken our lives to the next level over the last 10 years, like these strategies in this category. The last one, by the way, I believe I shared this in the New Life Book program, is called Interviews in Excellence. And this is one that Dr. Scott Gamm, our dear friend, came up with to build his chiropractic practice. And basically, it's going out there to successful people in your community and asking them if you can interview them for an X, a podcast, or in Scott's case, he was sharing these videos with his chiropractic patients to help them take their lives to the next level. People who are successful usually are super happy to share. They're actually honored by that in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. And you can get so much information. You can develop really good friendships. This was a way that Scott really got close to all the business owners in his community. And then he'd go in there and give a talk on chiropractic and on wellness to their team members and their employees. So he used it as a business building strategy, but I've also seen it used as a highly effective social strategy. So there you go. Doorman principle, getting into your contact list and hitting delete a few times, joining or starting a mastermind, joining or starting an accountability group, and interviews in excellence, or starting a podcast and going out there and interviewing successful people in your community. Five killer ways to explode this unbelievably important and valuable category.
I love it. I've been honored to be doing this podcast because I've met so many people, and now I have some contacts on my phone that are really quite powerful, and you do form friendships. Just before we jump into the questions here, touching on...
Let me just say something about that, sure, Jordan, because please. I'm just thinking about you over the last couple of years. Look at what's happened to your social life. Look at how much you've learned from the people that you've interviewed. Look, your whole life has gone to the next level because of that one thing. You basically did the last strategy, interviews and excellence. And I mean, you just did it because that's your career. But look at how it's taken your life to the next level.
It's completely unprecedented. And it's changed the people I'm hanging out with, too. Like, I don't hang out with anyone... I was just going to say, you've really formed a lot of your most powerful friendships through your career. And that's kind of what I'm realizing too. And on the surface, that almost sounds like, you know, you don't want to get in business with your friends in case something goes wrong. But that's really worked out for you in the long run, right? Haven't you made some of your best friends through business?
You know, I would actually fine tune that position just a little bit. I have absolutely, you know, my first inclination when I get really close to another man is to want to work with them. Always has been. And so I've probably started businesses with six or eight of my close friends. So that is absolutely the truth. But really, that's not what's taken our social life to the next level. What I would say the number one strategy that's taken our social life to the next level is masterminds. Mm-hmm. So we joined Joe Polish's Genius Network. And we met people across every category of life. I can pick up the phone and talk to wellness professionals, financial experts. We didn't work with any of these people. We met them through a mastermind.
Right.
And also my accountability group, although I did work with all those guys, most of them at least. But no, these strategies are just miraculous when you put them, you know, when you really put them into play into your life.
It's really cool, man. I'm loving it. And I'm loving this category unlike I ever have before. Let's dive into the questions because there's some really great ones.
Let's do it.
The first question comes from Suzanne. As much as I love exploring the social category and learning about all the life categories, At the end of the day, I don't derive a whole lot of fulfillment from my social life outside my family, and it always falls to the bottom of my priority list. Do you find this to be common and or normal, or could I possibly just have a blind spot to some kind of limiting belief and end up missing out on something beautiful down the road?
Man, that's a great question. And I would say that how she put that was exactly how I would describe our social life 15 years ago. Mm. Always fell to the bottom of the pile. Didn't want, I mean, look, Jordan, you know, I don't like giving up time with Missy. I don't like giving up time with my family. We guard our time very, very carefully. If we're going to give up a whole night with somebody, you know, it better be good. And it wasn't at that time. We didn't have any criteria. We had no doorman.
Right.
Anyone who just happened to wander through our front door got into our lives. And we had a group of friends, truthfully, that drained us, just like I was saying. So we didn't love this category. And then how it all changed is when we met Nathaniel Brandon in the mid-90s, and he became our mentor, and we really went super deep in that relationship. Well, it took about 10 to 12 years, but Nathaniel introduced us to some amazing people. He introduced me to my best friend, Dr. Pat Gintempo, and we started a business together, and that really expanded my social life. Pat was a major influence on me. And then he introduced me to Joe Polish, who is probably the most successful connector and networker in the United States today. And we ended up joining Joe's mastermind group, and that took our lives to the next level. And here's what I mean by that specifically, you guys. It's, you know, we talk about category interconnectivity, how all of these categories support each other and are supported by each other. A win anywhere is a win everywhere. Where in this category, joining Genius Network made it so that Miss and I can pick up the phone and talk to some of the best wellness health providers in the world for the health and fitness category. Financial and career have just exploded. I mean, all my financial advisors and all the best practices that we use in our career came from that group. So joining Joe Polish's mastermind took our lives to the next level in every category of our lives. And that's no joke. When we realized that the immense power of this category, we started taking it seriously and being conscious about the friends that we wanted to meet, literally making lists of the people that we wanted to meet and get close to, making lists of the categories of our life that we wanted to take to the next level through better strategies, and who could we reach out to help us with that. And there has been, I would say, no area of our lives that hasn't been improved by the social category over the last 10 years. It's been our number one growth spurt.
So,
pretty cool, right?
Do you feel like if your social life is just kind of flatlined or mediocre or just stagnant, it falls to the bottom of the priority because you're not getting a lot of feedback from it, where if you put some more time into it, then it kind of boosts everything else. And you know what I mean? Like it can kind of lie dormant.
It falls to the bottom of the pile because you don't understand the immense benefits of getting this category right. Mm. That's the best way that I can put it. That's what's happening to her, and that's what happened to us for the first 15 years of our relationship. Mm-hmm. But then when we realize that this is the fastest track, your social category is likely the fastest track to immense success in every category of life. So you don't have to go out there and reinvent the wheel. If you want to make a massive improvement in any area of life, there's someone out there that's already been where you are, taking it to the next level. Go find them. Go find out what they did. Get a little guidance. Get a little support. And take this thing to the next level quickly and effectively through leveraging other people's success. So I would say that the first step is to just really get in your head that this category is one of the most important categories of all. And then the second thing is put strategies in place, and I've listed five of them at the beginning of this call, that will help you take it to the next level. Totally worth it.
I love it. Good luck, Suzanne. Good luck to you. Next question coming from Kyle. What are some signs that it's time to let go of a friendship? For instance, I don't let anyone cross any major boundaries anymore. I cut that out of my life. But sometimes I find myself questioning certain relationships that often leave me feeling drained, even though they have many other good qualities.
That's a great question, Kyle. And first of all, let me congratulate you on cutting out the major boundary issue. That's
totally.
That's an accomplishment. confident man. So many of us just don't friggin' pay attention to that. We just let our boundaries get violated and violated and violated. And because we don't have enough healthy self-respect, we're not self-assertive and, you know, stand up for ourselves when we need to. So that's really a big accomplishment. Congratulations. Here's the thing. When it comes to whether or not to move forward and nurture a relationship or whether to let it go, that's a value judgment. And it's different for every person in every situation. But it's about your values. And what you need to do is get clear on your values. These are the things that I absolutely need in my relationships. These are non-negotiable. I need honesty. I need responsiveness. I need kindness and compassion. Whatever it is, literally make a list of your top five values that you have to have. And then make a list of the top five things that are deal breakers. These are the things I'm not willing to tolerate, period. Get super clear on those two lists, and then you can take a look at every relationship that you have and decide whether it fits that list. Now, I want to say two things about letting people go. You don't need to make them wrong, and you don't need to call them up and say, you're kicked out of my life. You don't need to read them the riot act. Mm-hmm. You can just fade away for a while and see how it feels. You can just, you know, take a little bit more time in between answering emails or text, lack of responsiveness, right? Which is a deal breaker for some people. You can just sort of be a little less available for dinner or whatever, and just kind of fade away and see how that's feeling. Does your life feel a little more free? Or were you wrong about this? And this person really is important, even though he or she is kind of a pain in the ass sometimes, and you want to go ahead and nurture this relationship.
Right.
Also, this is a big one. Letting somebody go temporarily does not have to mean forever. Missy and I have a number of friendships in our life, Jordan, that, I mean, I can think about one of the longest running friendships that we have. One of our dearest friends of 30 years, he'll come into our life and we'll be very, very close for a couple of years. We'll work on big projects together. We'll get some big stuff done. And then, well, like Kyle said, this is a person who has immense positive qualities, but also has some really difficult things to be around. Mixed bag, big mixed bag.
Right.
So we'll be really close for a couple of years, and then we'll just kind of need a little space. Both of us will just need a little space. And we'll go for a couple years without seeing much of each other or communicating much. And then we'll come back together and start it all over and see what kind of learning and growth we both had in our lives. Do another project together, hang out a little bit more together. And inevitably, a couple years later, we'll need a little break. That we've got a few friends like that that are incredibly dear and important to us. But we can't do a sustained, you know, nonstop relationship with them.
That's so super interesting.
Don't think you need to end the relationship or ruin the relationship. Or, you know, this is one of the things I think is really wrong with the world right now, how judgmental everybody is. You don't need to make the other person wrong. You can just say, right now, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to fade away. I'm going to be a little less available. See how it feels.
Right. And just the finality of everything. I think that we take comfort in making decisions on things like, okay, that's it. No more. Now I can feel better about myself. But like you were saying, so staying open is a really powerful option.
Yeah. Stay a little fluid. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Good luck, Kyle. Next question coming from Zenis. Member of the month, Zenis. He asks, how do you maintain the quality of a relationship remotely over time?
Well, it has certainly never been easier in human history, right?
We have a lot of options, that's for sure. Yeah, between Skype and Zoom and all this stuff.
Used to. Can you imagine in the pioneer days, you know, 1820, you're taking off with a friggin' covered wagon and your family, you're crossing the Mississippi and... I mean, you're literally, you will never talk to most people that you knew back east again.
Yeah, you'll get a letter down back to the city in like 9 months or something, like 11 and a half months.
Exactly. You know, if your carrier pigeon's working really, really well, you might right. have a little communication, but I mean,
carrier pigeon's on point.
It has never been easier to stay in close contact with somebody. You know, I think that if you really have somebody that lives far away from you, that you care about, setting up structured rhythms is a good idea. You know, start that accountability group with the people that you love, with some of the people that you're close to. Make a monthly call commitment or a weekly call commitment. When our kids are traveling, we we make sure that they're very responsive to text. That's one of the important rules in our family. With you, Jordan, I've got a wonderful accountability rhythm. We do this work together. We always connect. I mean, setting up a structured rhythm and you know, you guys, everyone who's been through Lifebook Mastery understands the importance of structured rhythms. It's the difference between random and chaos. And really dialing in effectively an important area of your life. So if you really want to stay in good, solid, close contact with somebody that you love that you're not around physically on a daily basis, it's never been easier, and you might want to structure it.
I like the structured rhythms idea for sure. Anytime you can collaborate with someone through work, like you said, but you do a really good job of even just staying in touch the extra mile, meaning you don't do a lot of texts. You do a lot of voice texts. You do videos sometimes. Is that a conscious effort to connect a little bit deeper?
Another thing I learned from Joe Polish. Joe just friggin' knocks out videos and audios, just like you were right there in the room with him. And that's one of the true geniuses about Joe as a connector, is that he doesn't wait. It's like if he's at lunch with somebody and that person says, "Damn, I wish that I knew, you know, a leading expert on recurring revenue continuity programs. Who's really good at tribes?" And Joe's like, "Oh, it's Stu McLaren. That's who it is. Hold on, right now, let's make a video for him. Hey, Stu, it's Joe and John. Let me boom." That he just does it right there, spot, bam. So yeah, I think that voice recordings and videos are great when you can make them, because it's never been easier to stay in really great close contact. The problem with not having a structured rhythm, Jordan, is I've got so many close friends that I just don't stay in, you know, as close contact as I wish I would. It's hard to remember. We're all busy, super busy. Especially, you know, like my friends, business owners and stuff.
Right.
We can go 6 months and all of a sudden we realize, damn, it's one of my best friends in the world and I haven't talked to him for 6 months.
Totally.
That's why I like structured rhythms. It makes sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks for the question, Zenas. Next question coming from Raphael. Going through personal development and especially Lifebook, one can really bring his life to the next level. What do you do when your friends and family are not ready for that next level? They're not really holding you back, but also not supporting you. Is it wise to spend less time with them in order to spend more time with the people who are or want to go to the next level?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you what you don't do if the people around you are not ready to go to the next level. You do not let them affect your path. That's a given. You got to stay on your path. You don't let people get you sidetracked. You don't let people pull you down. That's what you don't do.
Don't compromise your happiness.
You just don't. You, if you are moving forward and moving up and taking it to the next level and the people around you aren't, there's a lot of different things that you can do to try to help them or whatever. But the number one rule is you don't let them stop you. Mm-hmm. That's the number one rule, mm-hmm. right? So Raphael, I would say in general, it's always a good idea to try to look around for the most successful people you can find in these areas and get close to them and bring as much value as you can to the table and try to create a really reciprocal, valuable relationship with them. If the people around you are just not committed to growth like you are, I mean, the best thing you can do, and you guys have probably heard us say this 100 times, lead by example. You know, become that inspirational example by just crushing every one of these categories of your life and taking your life to the next level. And hopefully some of your friends will get a little bit fascinated by what's happening in your life. And we've literally had people come up to us and say, "You guys, how are you doing what you're doing?" And that's an opening.
Right.
That person has decided they're interested in finding out, you know, where this newfound success is coming from. And then you can share with them and hopefully become an inspiring, encouraging example.
100%.
The other big piece of advice that I would have for Raphael is really pay attention to how you feel after giving up a night to be with your friends or family or wife. Was that worth it? You know, did you go out drinking with the boys and just do a bunch of stupid small talk and now you got a headache and you kind of feel like you wasted the night? Or was it so fun and wild that you don't regret it because you got a memory that will last a lifetime?
Right.
was that dinner that you had that you know, you gave up a night with your wife or you gave up a night with your kids, was the conversation such that you were learning and growing at a level that was acceptable to you? Or do you feel like you could have spent that night better? Really pay attention to, you know, to the results that you're getting, to how you feel after giving up a night that you could have done something else. And that's going to help you. It's going to help you decide how to spend your time going forward and whom to spend it with.
And then what's that rule of thirds? I don't know if rule of thirds is the photography one, but there's a rule about spending a third of your time with a certain class of people. You know what I'm pointing to here?
I don't know that one.
I believe that it goes like this. If you spend if you spend too much time with those above you, you can become envious and feel like you're, you know, lesser. If you spend too much time with people who are less successful than you, people who haven't come as far as you, you can feel like maybe you're a big fish in a little pond and it can limit your growth. I guess the ideal ratio is spend a third of your time with those who are less successful and striving to be better. Spend a third of your time with those who are equally as successful as you and kind of on your same level. And then a third of your time with those who are highly successful.
I love that. That makes perfect sense to me. I mean, that feels exactly right. And, you know, spending your time around people who are not quite where you are, that's a very charitable, wonderful thing to do with a focus on giving and helping and encouraging and inspiring. But you certainly don't want to live there full time.
100%.
Right? Yeah. I can't say the same thing about spending time with people that are more successful than you personally. I've never gotten intimidated or felt less than by spending time with people that are more successful than me. I'm super happy for other people's success. And I'm super happy to learn from people who are more successful than me. And I mean, if I could, I'd spend almost all of my time.
I like
around.
That. No, for sure. No, you're right.
I
think the reason that is, if I had to point to why, you've done a ton of work on self-esteem with everything you've done with Nathaniel Brand.
Exactly right.
I think you're really, really secure with your place. Whereas other people might have, not just simple like reactions, not like they're not as strong as people, but they have kind of physiological self-esteem reactions around people who are on a higher level than them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I love hanging out with success. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And I wish I could do it. I wish I could do it, you know, almost full time.
Good luck to you, Raphael. Next question coming from Diane. How do I convince my extremely socially anxious daughter to make friends? Some close friends apparently betrayed her in high school and she doesn't want to make friends anymore.
Wow, that's tough. Sad. I think the first thing is to convince her of the benefits of getting this category right. I mean, whatever you have to do, get on Google and do a little bit of research on the incredible importance of the social category. There's that Grant study, right? That proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that your social life is going to be one of the most important determinants of success, happiness, and fulfillment. And happiness, honestly, we're social creatures, man. We need it.
Yes.
And those friggin' phones we're carrying around in our pockets make it so that we can have shallow surface connections without going deep. And mm-hmm. So we can be talking to 100 different people about 100 different things and none of it will be meaningful. It's a friggin' trick. So you got to be careful about that. But you know, what I would do is I would first really try to turn her on to the reality of how important this category is and how much she needs true deep social connection. And then I guess the place that I would start, what are her hobbies? What are her fascinations?
Yes.
What are her interests? What are her talents? And how can she find friends that share those things with her? Now, you go online because they're there and you can find them. And then, you know, that's a fast track, Jordan, to go find a group of people that share your X talent, fascination, interest, hobby. And you immediately have like think about Jade, Jordan. She went through that phase where she was super into K-pop and And she went out there and online she found friends all over the world.
All over the world, yeah. Met one in Amsterdam,
and then she met him.
Yeah,
she met them all, and in real life, and now it's a super close, amazing group of friends. I mean, that is literally how she did it. And Jade is a little bit of, you know, she's an artist introvert. That's a perfect example of what it can look like. We kind of had to nudge her a little bit, but she took responsibility for that area of her life. And I mean, she's in, where is she? I mean, she just got back from Mindvalley University in Croatia with her friend Joelle, who's from Amsterdam, who they met in a K-pop group and then got together. So that's a really good example.
That's so cool.
Right, of how to use your phone correctly. As far as the fact that she's got anxiety, I would strongly recommend that you get her to put her phone down a couple hours a day and get into nature. That almost no one takes that advice.
100%.
The most powerful thing you can do.
Oh, I love
we're
that,
in
man.
Hawaii, we're in Hawaii right now with our 15-year-old son and three of his 15-year-old
friends. I was just going to bring this up.
Having a man camp. And they just about had a nervous breakdown when I told them that they were only going to get their phones 2 hours a day. I mean, they literally was like, "You're taking away our crack. Where's my heroin?" Ah! I mean, it was like, I was like, "Guys, look at how you're reacting right now."
Yeah.
WTF. Give me those phones. And so we put them in a jar. They get them 2 hours a day before dinner. And what are they doing? They're out in the sunshine. They're out wrestling in the waves. They're doing physical labor. They're under the friggin' stars.
Exactly what they need.
Exactly. It's magical. And it's what we've lost. Again, that phone, it can take your life to the next level or it can ruin your life. It's that Ayn Rand quote. It'll take you anywhere you want to go, but it won't replace you as the driver. You've got to be the one to make the choices and the decisions. So anyway, I got sidetracked a little bit.
I'm right there with you. And just to put a cap on that, the parenting interview with Carista Luminaire was especially enlightening because kids are using it to regulate. And when you begin to regulate emotions with something like technology, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And Carista Luminaire is the partner of Lion Goodman. And I would recommend that Diane look into Lion's work because if your daughter has the belief that any friends she make will eventually betray her, that's a limiting belief. And their beliefs are not true inherently. They can, you need to teach her the whole belief thing. They can be switched out to more healthy ones, blah, blah, blah.
That's great advice. That is great advice. Jordan, have you heard Lion's belief clearing and social yet?
I just heard it. It is the most powerful one.
Oh my God, really? Okay, I haven't heard it yet. I'm really excited to. So that's a perfect tool for her to use for her daughter.
It absolutely is, yeah. And this month's a real treat with that episode. If you haven't heard it yet, he does an exercise to help you learn to try on and off different beliefs. It is quite powerful. So please, Diane, tune into that. And then I love your advice of just getting into something, man. These kids, they have infinite opportunities, but they don't need infinite opportunities. They need one thing really deep. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
100%. I mean, the infinite opportunities are one of the reasons that everybody's like a deer in headlights.
Yes.
Right? It's mind numbing. You're exactly right, Jordan. That's why I suggested following your fascinations, following your talents, and then finding people who feel the same way. And bam, it's a shortcut. Big time.
Totally. Good luck, Diane. Good luck to your daughter as well. Next question coming from Sam. I constantly find myself worrying about what others think of me. If someone holds a low opinion of me, it bothers me to the core, even if I don't particularly respect or even know the person. Do you have any resources or advice or exercises on how to better strengthen my inner compass and focus less on what others think and more on me and my close loved ones?
That's a fantastic question. That is a brave question to ask. You can just hear the courageousness in that question, Sam. And yes, I've got two resources. What you're talking about there is really the realm of self-esteem, which my mentor, Dr. Nathaniel Brannon, was considered the pioneer in the field of self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Nathaniel used to say, by far the most important reputation in your life is the reputation you have with yourself. Mm-hmm. The most important opinion that you'll ever have about someone in your life is the opinion that you have of yourself. Everything is built on top of that. So I would highly recommend Nathaniel's book, The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, which is, it's his seminal work. It's his best-selling book, but it's also an overview. It's, you know, he explores the six things that hold, and I'm going to list them right now, as a matter of fact, Jordan. I think that this is worth it. Here are the six pillars of self-esteem. And when you hear this list, you can just really get a sense of how incredibly important it would be in your life to make improvements in every one of these six areas, where your life would be. Mm-hmm. The first pillar of self-esteem is living consciously. Pay attention to what's happening in your life. Almost nobody does that. Are you getting closer or farther away from your goals? Are you on an upswing or are you on a downswing? Are you improving? Pay attention, live a thinking life. The second pillar is the pillar of self-responsibility. You are the decision maker at the center of your own existence. Your life is yours. You own it. You do not assign blame to other people. You understand there's no knight in shining armor coming to your rescue. If you have a desire for a happy, fulfilling life, it is up to you to figure out how to satisfy that desire. That's taking responsibility for your life, and that's a game changer. Mm-hmm. The third, and this would be one of the most important ones for Sam and for all of us, I think, who are struggling with that issue, because I struggled with that issue for a long time. The third one is the pillar of self-acceptance. It's basically saying, this is me. This is who I am. I might not love everything about me. I might not be overjoyed with this particular character trait, but I accept it. I accept myself as I am. Flaws and all. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a growth path and I hope to get better in the future. But right now, I accept myself. And that's a huge one, especially if other people's opinions of you can make you feel bad.
Wow.
Just being self-accepting of where you are. Yeah, I've got some issues. I've got some problems. I'm working my way through them. I'm conscious of them. I'm trying to get better every day. I'm not perfect, but I accept myself as I am. That's a huge one. That was the one I had to work most on when I started my work with Nathaniel. Mm. And I was in 3 years of deep psychotherapy with him. So we went pretty deep into that issue. Mm. The fourth pillar of self-esteem is self-assertiveness. It's just being appropriately self-assertive, which means you're willing to stand up for yourself if necessary. It doesn't mean pushing to the front of the line and knocking old ladies down to get what you want. It means that you are willing to put yourself out there in the world, that you're not shy or you don't shrink away from expressing yourself. That's a huge one that we can all work on. The fifth pillar is the pillar of living purposefully. It's having a reason to get up in the morning. It's knowing what you're doing here. It's the progressive accomplishment of worthy goals that move your life forward. Super important. And the last one is the practice of integrity, which is coherence between what the thoughts you have in your head, the words that come out of your mouth, and the actions that you take. Mm. People that lie don't have integrity because they've got a contradiction between what they say and what they do. Integrity just makes life a whole lot easier. It makes life a whole lot more consonant and a whole lot less dissonant. So those are the six pillars of self-esteem: living consciously, taking responsibility, being self-accepting, being self-assertive appropriately, living with purpose, and living with integrity. And you can see that if you would work on those six areas, your opinion of yourself is going to go up.
100%.
For real, and with good reason. And so that was my number one recommendation, is to read Nathaniel Brandon's Six Pillars of Self-Esteem and basically consume everything that man ever did in his life. He was a genius. And then my number two piece of advice for Sam or anyone who finds themselves worrying about what other people think about them, which we all do to a certain extent, but I mean, you know, whether it feels unhealthy or, you know, a lot of times other people can get you back on track. You've got a blind spot and they're like, hey, you're being kind of an asshole right now. And let me tell you why I think that.
Totally.
And you know, and so that can be valuable too. But if you find yourself overly worried about it, the second recommendation would be to take the Enneagram test online. I think most of you have probably heard Missy and I talk about the Enneagram, which is an ancient Arabic wisdom system. It's a personality system that divides the world up into 9 personality types. It's the most profound wisdom system we've ever encountered. Nathaniel Brandon turned us onto it 25 years ago. Jordan, it changed your life
100%.
For sure.
Yep.
Right? Changed our lives. And the thing about the Enneagram is, it'll tell you what your type is. I'm a driver, a challenger. Jordan, you're an observer. So there are 9 different types. And then it will tell you what your subtype and your wing are. There are 3 subtypes. One of them is social, one of them is sexual, one of them is self-prez. And Sam is probably a social subtype. Social subtypes, their greatest fear is not being liked and not being accepted by other people.
Mm.
Sexual subtypes, their greatest fear is not being attractive to other people. So each one of these subtypes has their own little thing. I am a social subtype, a third of us are. And so just understanding the dynamic of a social subtype can sometimes help you have a breakthrough right there, because you get a good, healthy snapshot of what that's all about. And that can help you control it a little bit better.
I love that.
So all Nathaniel's work plus the Enneagram.
I wanted to touch on the two pillars that I thought most applied. The first one being self-acceptance, which you picked out, which makes perfect sense. If you don't accept yourself, you are going to be putting more weight than is probably warranted on other people's opinions. It makes sense that there would be a missing link there. But I think the real supporter, that's kind of the prerequisite, right? I think the real supporter, or maybe the indicator, or maybe the yardstick, or the compass, you use the word compass, is integrity. Because if you double check your integrity and you go, am I living in integrity? And you have everything, you know, all your values clearly defined. If the answer is yes, then you should be impervious. That should be a shield, a force field.
That is an incredibly insightful comment, Jordan. You're exactly right about that, because what integrity gives you is it gives you an inner strength. It gives you a knowing that you're standing on solid ground within yourself. The other great Nathaniel Brandon work, you guys, is the audio Succeeding Through Inner Strength, which basically says, if you are going to have that experience of inner strength, of being a confident person who is competent to cope with the basic challenges of life and being deserving of happiness, that experience is going to come from inside you, or it will not come at all. It cannot come from outside you.
Mm.
And so that audio is absolutely fantastic. I would highly recommend it. You can go on nathanielbrandon.com and find Succeeding Through Inner Strength.
I love it. Good luck, Sam. Final question coming from Alex. How do you recommend people get along with others who share vastly different beliefs than themselves? It seems like in the past you could disagree on one or even several major issues and still be decent with each other, even friends maybe. Has this changed, and how can we do better?
Yes, it has changed, and it's going to continue to change at an even faster rate, I think. So we really need to fasten our seatbelts. The internet and social media have changed everything, and will continue to. All of our structures are coming down, all of them, and it's going to continue to change at a faster and faster rate. Now, listen to what I just said, because this is something that Missy and I have been thinking about for the last 18 months, hardcore. You know how everything feels so acute and so heated up right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to continue to accelerate and get more and more and more and more like that. And we need to be ready for it. For the first time in human history, people with vastly different belief systems can communicate directly with each other. That's never been the case before. Directly. So our ideas are smashing into each other. And we're trying to work our way through it, and we're not handling it especially well right now. And you know, another thing about, it's not just that we can communicate directly. When you're not standing face to face, looking at someone's face, looking into their eyes, it's a lot easier to be rude.
Oh my God.
There's no accountability around it.
Totally.
It's a lot easier to flame someone, right, Jordan?
It really is, and I'm not sure what that is, but it almost seems like the default.
Well, there's no accountability.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at you, well, I can't call you a xenophobic, misogynist, racist, you know, asshole right to your face without having some sort of accountability involved. But
right.
But if you're online, I could just do anything I want and walk away and not worry about it.
It's
so
true.
It's not just that we're hooked up at a different level. It's that there's a lack of accountability around the things that we're saying. And it's just turned so mean and so off. What we need is more tolerance. We need more respect for each other. And I think it would be a really wonderful idea for us to lose as much of that self-righteous moral indignation that everybody seems to have right now. You know, on both sides, self-righteous moral indignation. That's mm-hmm. what's tripping us up.
Yes.
And that's what's hard to let go of, that holier than that secret little holier than thou thing that we all have, you know.
Yes.
That we all have. I'm on the right side of this issue. I know I'm right, and I know that everybody that doesn't agree with me is wrong. And we all have that. And letting go of that is a major spiritual accomplishment, and it's hard as shit. It is so friggin' hard.
Do you think we did ourselves?
Go ahead.
Do you think we did ourselves a little bit of a disservice? Maybe not a total disservice, but there was certainly an unintended repercussion of the, I don't want to say trophy generation, but this whole idea of how we brought up the free world, expressing yourself and your opinion is super, super important and you're special and your opinion matters and you need to voice it. There is kind of a mandate in modern society to stand up and speak for what's right. And while that's a beautiful sentence, do you feel like that kind of compels people in an unhealthy direction sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's two sides to that coin. And I think you've pointed them both out. I think it is important for you to value your own opinion. I don't necessarily think you need to share it when it's not requested all the time. I don't think you necessarily need to have a cut and dried black and white opinion on every damn thing, every issue in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, which everybody seems to need to you know,
gravitate towards.
Yeah, it yes. really does feel like that. I think we got to get to a place where we can share without making other people wrong. We can listen without having to, we can listen and not agree without having to make the other person wrong. We got to get to that place because when we were more isolated, we talked about the pioneer crossing the Mississippi River. You know, when we were more isolated, this wasn't near as big an issue. Now we're connected to everybody. We're right. all connected, all hooked up together.
Overconnected.
We've got to have a strategy.
So what is lacking? Part of me thinks it's a character thing, like, man, control yourself. Would you just have a little bit of GD decency and control yourself? That's like a character thing. But I feel like there's also like a spiritual, like a fellow compassion, like a spiritual connection that has also been lost. Where do you think the missing link is category-wise?
I think, Jordan, that it comes for sure back down to self-righteous moral indignation and the holier-than-thou attitude that we all have. We all do. You can see it on every side of every issue. And I think that's one of the things that's really tripping us up.
It's kind of a spiritual judgment. The word holy is right in it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think that this is a microcosm. All of our structures are coming down. This is what we've got to realize, people.
Right.
Everything is morphing, and it's not going to get slower. It's not going to level out. It's not going to normalize. It's going to pick up steam, and we need to be ready for it. Education as we know it, done. Industry after industry after industry as we know it, done.
Revolutionized.
Most,
yeah. Currency.
Most business models, done.
Yeah.
Old big successful businesses, done. Is our current form of government, in America, our form of government, which was invented in the 1700s, was basically, all right, I live in Ohio, or no, I guess it wasn't Ohio back then because that was too far west. But you know, I live in West Virginia, and the laws are being made in Washington D.C. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to vote for the most successful, respected guy in my community to go out there and give up his job as a blacksmith and ride a friggin' horse to Washington D.C. and represent our community in Washington D.C.
Why? Because I could never do it myself because it's far away.
Couldn't do it. Well, you know what, guys? We don't have to do that anymore. We could literally vote directly on every single issue that there is if we wanted to. We don't need representatives anymore. I'm not saying we shouldn't have them. I'm just saying, again, all of our old structures are being challenged right now. Every construct we have is coming down.
That's a good way to put
it. And this is just one of them. Mm-hmm. This is just one of them. So this is going to get more and more acute, more and more intense. It's not going to slow down. It's going to speed up. And I think having a life book, you know, exploring these wonderful topics that we're exploring every single month, getting more and more strong within yourself, being more self-directed, knowing with clarity the person that you want to become and the life you want to build, and then moving toward that life with intention, it's never been more important because there's so much chaos and there are so many things to sidetrack you and knock you off course if you don't know the kind of a life you want to live. And if you don't have support and strategies to make that happen, you're done in this new world that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the life book is the best tool that we have. for these truly unique challenges that are being posed?
Lifebook and the Lifebook community, the people in this community are just, you know, such an inspiration, such a joy. There's so much encouragement, so much wisdom, so much great knowledge sharing of best practices. So yeah, we got to stick together. It's going to be a crazy world, and it's going to be both the agony and the ecstasy, the positive and the negative. With every massive leap forward comes a corresponding negative. That iPad, remember when it came out? That was magic, right?
Yes.
The phones that we take for granted now, again, they can take your life to the next level, or they can destroy your life. It's all everything all at the same time. Expanding, going faster and faster. And it feels like we really need a stable, safe place to come and to be filled up. A watering hole, right? Kind of. To be filled up and to be, you know, supported.
In this drought of a society that we've created when it comes to consciousness. It's true.
I do think it's important, Jordan, back to this question. I do think it's important for us to stand up for what we believe in. I do think it's important for us to share the things that have worked. I do think it's important to push back on the things that we don't feel are just or right or fair. But my God, we've got to figure out a way to do it without, I mean, I think we may break through this one. And I think that the breakthrough may be just establishing some basic human decency in our social interactions. I think both sides could call for basic decency. Mm. They haven't yet. Not a single friggin' person has. Not one person has. They're full on in the fight. All they want to do is fight. We want to elect the biggest champion we can to go out there and beat the other side. That's what the world is right now. And I think what needs to happen is both sides need to call for common decency and tolerance. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to vote for the first politician that does that. First politician that steps up there and says the number one problem we have is the polarization between these two parties of ours. That's our number one problem. And I'm here to fix it. I'm here to make sure. That's my number one thing that I'm going to focus on.
I'm going to take that quote out of context and make you run. So you'll be on the next ballot.
Oh,
you probably
God,
get a lot of
exactly
votes.
That's exactly what I need. Yeah, my life isn't complicated enough. I need to run for public office. Oh my God.
Oh man. Well, I love it. This was great, man. I feel like we covered a lot of ground. These were some powerful questions this time.
Yeah, I know this interview was a little bit intense. I felt like I was a little bit intense through this Q&A. But you guys, I used to be too relaxed about this category. This category is the shit. This category will take your life to the next level if you can really get it right. So, I mean, I want to be excited about it, and I want to push a little bit this month because this is a sleeper category, Jordan.
Yes.
You know, going
yes.
through Lifebook, social, it's time to have fun, right? Yeah, that's true. But my God, there's another side to it. And I wanted to make sure that came through today.
Absolutely. All you Lifebook members, make sure to write in your questions every month so we can help take every category over the top. I know we're up against it here, man. Let's go ahead and sign off. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Jordan. Love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next month.
All right. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.